Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We've been talking with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com, about making Sunday special. In order to continue our exploration of this important subject, we're turning to Chapel of the Air radio broadcasts from 1987, where Dr. David Maines talks about this very subject. We hope you enjoy this look back at a previous broadcast and also will glean from it the kind of information that will help you as a pastor realize how important it is to teach your congregation to make Sunday the high point of their week. David, share with us what you have for today.
Church bells. In times past, they called worshipers to God's house. In times past, bells announced the hours of the day. Bells signaled the death of a monarch or the birth of a prince. When fire broke out, pealing bells called for help. Many bells meant gather quickly, an enemy approaches. And all this May, we are using the sound of church bells to send a new challenge out across North America from the chapel of the air. Hi, good friend. I'm David Maines, and it's my distinct honor to be your host this visit in the Chapel of the Air. I love the sound of all those church bells. It brings to mind the word celebration. And that's what Sunday is, a unique, holy celebration. Celebrations have always been a major part of God's plan for mankind. One needs only to think back of the yearly feasts or sacred festivals instituted by the Lord back in Old Testament days. The Passover celebration, Pentecost or First Fruits, the Feast of Trumpets or what we would call New Year's, Tabernacles or Booths, and of course the Day of Atonement. Several of these were extremely festive and joyous occasions. So God dare not be viewed as a dour spoil sport, a deity who's alarmed when he sees his creatures enjoying themselves too much, saying, "Quick, order up another typhoon or plague of the Black Death to keep these jolly people more sober." No, it's just the opposite. God delights in the well-being and happiness of mankind. You know that, don't you? For a good mental picture of what I'm sharing, you need to get in your mind a Jewish story like Fiddler on the Roof, where the festivities and the singing and the laughing and dancing abound. "Because of our tradition," says Tevye. He's the poor Russian Jewish dairyman. "We've kept our balance all these years. Everyone knows who he is and what God expects him to do." One of those traditions, in the context of a weekly celebration, is Sabbath. You might recall the beautiful prayer sung at sundown as the family Sabbath celebration begins. Tevye and Goldie, his wife, sing it to their daughters before the meal starts. "May the Lord protect and defend you. May he always shield you from shame. May you come to be in years to wear a shining name. May you be like Ruth and like Esther. May you be deserving of praise. Strengthen them, O Lord, and keep them from the stranger's way," and so on. For the Jew, Sabbath begins in the evening in the family home. The next morning it moves to the house of God, where the religious family now gathers. "I was glad," writes the psalmist, "when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" That's Psalm 122, verse 1. And I believe gladness is a fitting term. Sabbath is not an obligation, it's a great privilege and delight. To the Jews, Sabbath is so special it takes 3 days to prepare for it, then Sabbath, and then 3 days just to reflect back on its wonder. So there's a gentle rhythm to the week, ascending for 3 days as Sabbath approaches, then the high point of the week, Sabbath itself, followed by a gentle descending or moving away from this miracle of meeting with God in his house. Then the rhythm of the sacred is repeated and repeated and repeated. Do you see the picture? Nothing can take the place of Sabbath. Because Sabbath is a gift from God, man should determine in his mind that Sabbath will be at the pinnacle of his week. Like all other days, still it's not like any of the other days. And having fixed in one's mind that this day is unique and special, the rest is easy. It's just a living out of this priority that's been established. Again, what I'm saying is that Sabbath starts to become that unique holy celebration once you establish in your mind that it truly is special. Now, you're aware that throughout most of the church world, we worship God corporately on the first day of the week. But the Sabbath principle remains the same. This day, in a special manner, is set apart for God. Again, a holy celebration, if you please. Beyond that, our risen Christ is there with us by his Spirit when we meet. And in spirit doesn't in any way minimize the reality of his presence. Were Christ to join us bodily, his presence would be limited at the most to several congregations on any given Sunday. But by being with us in spirit, he can truly be present wherever and whenever his body gathers. Still, I'm fearful that our faith doesn't always pick up on the wonder of what I've just shared. So now I'm back to the Sunday challenge we began sounding a week ago. There are 4 points on the card from which I am now reading. Joining with God's people throughout North America, I will, 1, choose to make Sunday the high point of my week. I'll read the other 3 after a little while. But this week we've been concentrating on point 1, I will choose to make Sunday the high point of my week. I don't know what the high point of your week usually is, that event which gives you a great deal of delight. Maybe, sir, it's watching sports on television on Sunday afternoon. Or for you, ma'am, possibly it's when you have money and can go shopping. I guess for some it might be a night out for dinner, and then some entertainment afterward. You can make the high point whatever you want, but I'm telling you, when you really think about it, that it's going to be hard to beat the choice of Sunday morning in church with Jesus Christ himself being present. Now hear me. When you determine that this will be the high point of the week for you, all of a sudden everything about Sunday in church begins to change. I testify that your mindset is what makes the huge difference. Church starts getting celebrative. In fact, here's what I'm saying in a sentence. A divine celebration begins when you mentally decide that the high point of your week will be the presence of Christ in his church each Sunday morning. To fail to decide is by default to miss out on the wonder of what I'm advocating. So here it is again. A divine celebration begins when you mentally decide that the high point of your week will be the presence of Christ in his church each Sunday morning. Let me read the other 4 points of our Sunday challenge. Joining with God's people throughout North America, I will, 2, begin my Sunday preparations on Saturday at the latest. What a difference that makes, and we'll talk about it all next week. 3, I will promise to set aside a regular weekly time of prayer for my church leaders. And 4, I will expect God to honor my obedience with the reality of his wonderful presence when our church gathers. Hey, we are out to make a difference in this land. We know things won't change overnight, but let the numbers begin to grow into the hundreds of thousands who signed the Sunday Challenge, and we believe the day will start to change. Let ministers all across North America ring the bell that's being sounded here in the chapel. There will be a celebration. This is not a gimmick. This is a challenge that's attainable. It's not one that's easy, but it is one of the very challenges needed to issue in the new day we all talk about so longingly. Well, let's see it come. That's what I say. Let's see it come.
Thank you for joining us for this time together. You found this SermonCoach.com podcast at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website, where you will find resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons and life-transforming services. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.